A listener note, the safety information discussed in this podcast are our views based on our personal firsthand experiences. Each safety situation presents unique risks, and the solutions discussed in this podcast should not take the place of thorough risk assessments or evaluations based on your specific circumstances. Thank you. Welcome to Safe, Efficient, Profitable, a Worker Safety Podcast, where we break down real problems from real situations and discuss realistic solutions. And here's your host, owner of Allen Safety LLC and CHMM, Joe Allen.
Good day. This is the Joe with Allen Safety on our episode 4 podcast of Lockout Tagout. And this particular one is about lockout tagout procedures implementation. We've had a few episodes now talking about how to build up to this moment. And we'd like to thank you for joining us. I'm always going to say that. And we appreciate you taking time out of your day to think of some different ideas. As we've talked about in the first few episodes, our ideas are more of how to do the actual process for where you work, and it may make you look at the picture a little differently. And if I appreciate you just taking time to listen to these ideas, we have identified over the last few years, there's been struggles with certain subjects like lockout tagout. And some of those struggles were not that people weren't great at what they did. It was just how to handle the process of implementation. So today is about procedure implementation. All right. So we've got a lot of procedures, a lot of writing we do during the year as a company. Myself, writing procedures is a very time-consuming item we talked about in the last episode for me. So I'm always looking at ways to speed up that process, but still get a great end result. So the implementation part is usually a little easier for me than the actual writing them, because I can see real time how it goes to the location and how to manage it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So one of the things we're going to talk about is I now have a procedures completed. It looks amazing. It's formatted correctly. Everyone agrees to it. I'm going to go out now, and now I'm going to use this procedure to validate the task and train that person on it. So now I'm going to take that procedure, going to train on the end user, and everything we've done is great. And now we got to decide, did I think about how many locks they need? So in the procedure, I may have been more focused on what do they need to lock out. But as I'm out there doing it, I remind myself, I think I only gave this person 3 locks. And there's 3 things to lock out, but there's actually 4. So now I'm in a procedure implementation stage. But I'm also in a brainstorming, is there any randoms like that I didn't think of? So maybe I need a 4 locks. It was actually 2 valves I had to lock out for air, 2 valves I had to lock out for gas, and make sure I have enough locks. Yeah, the other part I'm looking at is, as I go to lock out this piece of equipment, is this procedure valid for the intent that I want? And what that means is you will see some people say, let's write a lockout procedure for locking out a trailer that we're going to load and unload trailers. And there'll be pushback on, is that really lockout, or is that trailer control, or is that shipping controls, or is it the front of it, or is it the back of it? Where do we use a lock? Well, we can have the same things going on with any piece of equipment. There could be challenges when we go to implement this procedure that we don't really call it lockout during this time. So for example, I have a piece of equipment that has a guard, but you can work or kind of around the guard or close to a guard. So everyone has said, well, the way that equipment's designed, we really don't need to lock it out because we're not really removing the guard. And I go back to, where's the hazard? If there's a point of operation hazard for the end user, then I need to capture that by modifying a guard or modifying my procedure. Now, from a time issue, if someone says, yes, we shall use this procedure and lock out this piece of equipment every time we do this task, if I'm standing there watching them and I see them do the task maybe 30 times a day or 50 times a day, I have to say to myself, yes, it's safe to lock it out, but are they really going to do it 50 times a day? So now, even though I'm implementing a lockout procedure, I'm also trying to figure out, is the procedure really right, or should it be more engineering controls we should look at, or more guarding we should look at to protect that employee and not hope that they always lock it out 50 times a day? Now, I bring this up because I'm a little older, and when I was 19 years old, I was in the Navy, And there was pieces of equipment that I was around, and we were instructed to remove a guard and do certain tasks. But back in that day, I really don't remember having a lot of locks around. And I don't remember having the intensity of how crazy the lockout was. Not that it was or wasn't. It was just a different way of managing the process at that time in history. So I think about how many times I did a process, and it maybe 50 times a day, and how it would affect my overall emotional state that day if I was locking out 50 times and I didn't feel like I had to, because I know the equipment. I've run it for 10 years. I know what I'm doing, for example. Not my example, but just an example. So I've got to be conscious about that as I'm validating procedure. If I can engineer, control, or guard that process so they don't have to do it 50 times a day, then I've removed risk. I've removed the chance of them not doing it, and I've overall made it easier for the employee. That's what I need to be doing as part of the implementation. Now, the next part I'm going to do is I'm going to look at, when we go to lock out this procedure, where are they going to stand? Even though we've talked about that a little bit in the past, I want to watch how they move again, how they pull the disconnect, or how they remove the guard or do the process. So I may have locked out the piece of equipment and I've got that part and it looks great, but now they're going to remove the guard, but the guard is a little bigger than they can manage, and the guard may weigh a little bit, or the guard may be a little awkward, or the footing for moving the guard may be awkward. So yes, I've locked it out following the procedure and I've implemented it correctly, but now I'm going to go back to risk analysis and see, when I remove that guard, it could a hazard be created that could hurt that person when they do that task? Because now what we talked about in the first couple of episodes, there is not a lot of other processes that may capture the weight of that guard or capture the hazard of that guard. So I may put that in my lockout procedure. Once I go lock out piece of equipment one, I pull the disconnect. Second step is I'm going to remove the guard. A caution or notice or advisory or information or a note. When I go to remove the guard, it takes two people, or I need a chain drive system. I need to move the grating over to the left when I go stand up, because the hazard could be more of when I go to remove the guard than it is before. And then the last part I'm looking at it is the sequence of events to make sure they make sense. For example, I have a piece of equipment that has a guard that is closed, and I go to lock out the piece of equipment, but if I lock out the airline, I cannot lift the lid for the piece of equipment because I can't. It has to have air or hydraulics to lift that lid so I can do the task I need to do inside. So yes, I may have locked out a piece of equipment according to the procedure, but if the end result or end goal is we have to work on that piece of equipment or reach in that piece of equipment, and I can't physically remove the guard at all because of the order I locked that out, then I've got to evaluate my risk of which is riskier and what is the order of how I lock it out, because the end result is I got to have the guard open to be able to do the work or service the piece of equipment. So I may change the order. So I may say, now lock out the electrical, but on the hydraulic line, I'm going to stand at a certain spot. I may write that in there. I may stand here, hit a button, and let the device open up, and then apply my lock toward that piece of equipment for hydraulics or air, and then try it, bleed out whatever amount that there is left. And then after I do that, now I've successfully locked out that piece of equipment. So I will still take consideration the other parts of the movement of that equipment and the movement of myself in relation to that. So now I've implemented procedure. Now I have the sequence I'm going to do it in. Now I'm going to edit a few things. That's fine. And now I wanted to roll this out. Now, am I going to laminate it? Am I going to keep it on a file? Am I going to keep it on a shared drive? However you want to do, that's fine. But there's all different versions of doing it. The only problem I see sometimes is I work in wet environments. So sometimes when we laminate something and put it on a production floor, the wet environment has problems with it. I also work in plants that have a lot of chemical. So we may have chemical that deteriorates the material or the concept or process they did to mount that lockout procedure. So what I have to watch for is that I don't introduce a process such as laminating or a piece of paper or whatever on a piece of equipment, and then I use chemical for 3 days and you can't read anything. Well, that didn't meet the goal. So now I've decided, okay, now I'm going to move this lockout procedure somewhere else. Maybe I put it in one of those books, or maybe put it on a shared drive. Well, who gets access to that? Now I've got to ask that. Can everyone get access that needs to use it? Is the shared drive going to work for everyone? Is the remote computer going to get access? Is the book going to be updated? So yes, my procedure implementation may have been great in the way I was thinking about it in my office, typing them up, got it done. I'm so excited. But then I go back and, well, how am I going to do that? So now I've got to back up because it's not one procedure. It could be, again, hundreds of procedures that are affected. Now I've got to look at the actual process or format how I'm going to get that data. What I don't want is I don't want the procedure to go in this magical place that gets filed and is amazing and looks flawless, but the end user does not even know it's kind of there. I want the end user to know through the process of creating it, process of validating, maintenance of validate. I want them to see that is a living part of the business model for that work zone that person works in. I want them to see and know that these things are out there and I help create them and they are part of what I'm going to do because they're a part of their life. I don't want the procedure to just get lost in some place. So however you decide to manage that process for end user or for maintenance or whatever, that's what I want you to think of now is how do I get that data? It could be a Saturday. And if it's a Saturday and it's in a file that only three people are allowed to click on and have access Monday through Friday for security purposes or IT issues or whatever you want to call it, if I had the contractors coming in on Saturday and they say, how do I look at that piece of equipment? I really don't want verbally a supervisor telling them as a from a liability standpoint. I want the verbal part being, let me go get you the lockout procedure. I'll be right back and we can go over it. And then they go access the procedure, bring it to the contractor. And now the contractor says, that makes sense. Yes, we can do it. Now, in regards to that, if I'm going to do some kind of meeting for contractors, we'll talk about contractors in a later episode, I do want to recognize how many locks I would need for that task. So when I'm thinking earlier about it took three locks, four locks, or five locks to do it, sometimes the contractors come to a location and will think they need three locks, they actually need seven. If they don't have seven and they can't do the job, then that affects what happens that day. So it's still part of lockout in the procedure. So sometimes if it's a piece of equipment that has randoms, like actually need nine locks and it's three things to lock out, I may actually write in that procedure, need nine locks. So that people are aware that, hey, something's off if I've only applied eight locks. Where's this ninth one at? I'm not saying the procedure doesn't have it. I'm not saying we didn't go into meeting. I'm not saying we didn't talk about it. What I'm saying is real time on a Saturday, if we're doing construction projects, because I work a lot of those, as we're doing these projects, what'll happen is that the project itself will be running great and we'll get that one hiccup or one piece of equipment. And as we do, then I've got to say, okay, now I need extra locks. Where am I going to get those from on a Saturday when everything's closed and everything's not open like, you know, a supply company to get those? So it's these weird things you don't think about that when you're doing projects on the weekend or real time Saturday night that end up changing the way you thought your implementation was going to be. So all I want you to do is think about real time how this procedure, it has a life of its own. It lives during the week to make sure people are safe. It lives on the weekend to make sure contractors and people and contractors are safe and come into contact with are safe. And then it actually has this world that it's got to be filed and it's got to be managed. It's got to be organized. So this one process, this one lockout, it's a very big part of some people's lives while they work at the plant from a manager standpoint or as an implementation standpoint. It's not one of the subjects that's usually, oh, we get it done and it's off our radar. It's on there for a long time. And that's what makes it, I think, challenging for some people is when you look at the different variables that there is to it and the different amount of scope of work, that can be overwhelming again. So we've talked about overwhelming almost every episode. That's what I have to deal with every day. I have to make sure that when someone says to me, hey, Joe, can you write 30 lockout procedures for me? And I'm like, sure, but is it really 30 lockout procedures? Is it 90 because of the different things we have to address? Or is it going to take instead of 2 days, 5 days, or 12 days? Because when people ask for me work, they want to know how much time it's going to take, how many procedures need, how's that process going to be done? Treat the same thing as being a person at the plant or the location. Whether you're at the location or whether you're a consultant like me, it still takes so many minutes to do these and so much implementation and so many ways to validate. And that is the biggest trend I've seen the last few years is back to the time. How much time? Because I may work Monday through Friday as a safety person and come in every once in a while on a Saturday and do some projects. But if the supervisor only works weekends, because there's companies that only have supervisors that work Friday, Saturday, Sunday because they're project people, we got to be able to get the same data to them as we do the supervisor on Monday. And then I got to be able to validate that's going to work. So there's multiple parts I want you to think about as you're writing the procedures and rolling them out. And then the last part about the procedure is now I filed them. Now I'm going to do an annual review. And there's two kinds of annual review, and we'll talk about lockout more as an employee lockout, but there's annual review for lockout procedure, and there's annual review for lockout person doing the task. I want the annual review for lockout, if possible, pulled while they're doing the annual review of the person, so they're revalidating both. Yes, the person's good to go, and yes, the procedure is great, and we can just sign up, yep, we're good to go there. But if we decide... In closing here, if we decide to update the procedure because during the revalidation with the employee part, we found a gap or an error, or something has changed, and we go and update that procedure, the next step you need to do is you need to go back and say, how many employees could be affected by this procedure? And if you say six, then you want to make sure you go back to all six and capture that information and let them know the change you made. I'm not saying that's easy to do. What I'm saying is that particular next 24 hours or 5 days, when that person's doing that task, if you capture that there was something you need to modify, you need to get that data out to them because they could still have the same risk and now you have a multiplier risk. And we talked about multiple episodes. I want to reduce risk per equipment, reduce risk per person, and reduce time. That reduces risk. And I want to reduce the risk by the interaction with equipment, by guarding or replacement of areas where I stand or the length of where the disconnect is. I'm all about reducing the risk, total scope, total way you look at that particular project. The lockout tagout procedure is a way to help manage that risk and manage that constant risk of training or turnover. What do you have to make sure that no one gets hurt as the end user? So I'd like to close out and say thank you again for taking time to listen to us. Please subscribe if you want. I really, really hope that these are giving people some different ways to look at the puzzle. And that's all we're trying to do here. And we're trying to do, I don't know how many we've talked about before. We're going to keep doing them maybe once a week, once 2 weeks. But we are trying, and I appreciate it. Have a great day, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Safe, Efficient, Profitable, a Worker Safety Podcast. If you like what you heard here, please take a moment to write us a quick review, like, subscribe, and share our podcast so that others can find us. For questions or to request topics that you'd like to hear on our next show, please visit us at www.allen-safety.com. Thank you.